something you listeners, longtime followers, and watchers from YouTube may not know is that I had a wife from 2016 to about 2019. Yeah, I know, y'all. Shocker. Eyebrows raised. We're getting real on Club Clinical, okay? And before that, I actually had a girlfriend from age 16 to about 21. I did the whole coming out thing to my Caribbean parents. That didn't go well. Had my phone taken away, was put on punishment, acted out, almost ended up in jail, you know, whatever. Maybe another story for a different day. But I am here now on the other side of things in a very, very happily committed, not married yet in traditional sense, relationship with an amazing man. Okay. And I want to talk about how long it took me to get to a place where I feel comfortable to talk about my previous lives and where I am now. I hate the term bisexual. I hate like all the labels that we put on ourselves. I also especially hate how people have like said that I am homophobic, and I'm like, little do you know, I actually am married to a woman. And this was like mostly during CRNA school. So if you followed me while I was in anesthesia school, I had a wife and I never told anyone. I never talked about it publicly. I'm not ashamed to say any of this. It's truth of truth. I even often lied about me having a wife, you know, when preceptors would ask me like about my family and, you know, am I married? Cause I wouldn't wear my wedding ring. Cause I didn't want people to ask me. You know, because I went to school in the South, and as a Black woman, you know how to play the game. You know how to shuck and jive, as I call it. You know what to say, what not to say. You know how to code switch. And if you don't know what code switching is, look it up. You know how to get where you need to go to make it happen, which is why I always say follow Black women if you want to know how to do what you need to do, because we figure out a way. And I now am at a place where I frolic around nude, and I talk about plant medicine, and I talk about my job, and I talk about what I don't and don't like, because I am living a free life. But before, like I said, I would lie about who I was married to because I was not ashamed. I was just protecting myself. And I knew that if I were to share that, the focus on, you know, education, the focus on who was standing in front of them as a student to be precepted in anesthesia school would be overshadowed by that. It would cause people to treat me differently. And I'm already a Black woman, okay? I can't be risking that. So I didn't tell people. And I know there are so many people that are going to be like, oh my God, I feel like you lied to us, or you weren't being honest. And like, if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. That's on you, not me. I was doing what I needed to do, okay? So anyways, getting that out of the way, I want to fast forward to 2024, okay? I was in the kitchen with my man, and I was like, oh my God, babe, I have a whole ass job. And he laughed at me, rolled his eyes, and he goes, you mean you have a half ass job? And I don't know why I thought this was the funniest thing ever, but I was cackling, and in mid cackle, he was like, no, like for real, think about this. Like, you don't have a whole job. You have a half a job. You go to work 2 days a week. And so I want to, in the spirit of being real and transparent in real time and not feeling like I have to hide anything, I want to talk about the real behind where I am today, how I've gotten here, the things that I've had to do to be here, because a lot of people see the end product. A lot of people see, you know, oh, Aisha, you only work part time and must be nice, which I fucking hate. I hate when people say must be nice because I work my ass off to be here. Side note. And if you are not cool with cussing, I'm sorry. Like, I cuss. That's what it is. So a little intro about me and where I've been and how I've gotten here. If you are new here, again, welcome to Club Clinical. Today's episode is another great day to get into who and what and why I am what I am. So I went to school in 2009. That was my first year in college. I went to a 4-year school. I played college soccer at Virginia Commonwealth University for 4 years. Ooh, that was humbling. Learned a lot about myself. I had amazing teammates that held me higher. Shout out to you, Lauren motherfucking Hutchinson. I had coaches that sat me down in their office and were like, yeah, you are not contributing positively to this team. You are no longer the best player anymore. Get over it, and find your role. So, beautiful life lessons in college. Graduated college with my BSN degree. I'll film a podcast episode, I think that'll be the next one, about my decision to pursue nursing. But I graduated with my BSN degree a semester late because, again, I chose to do soccer and I wanted to see it through, and there was courses that I couldn't take during the soccer season, blah, 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 blah. So I graduated in 2013, started my first nursing job in 2014. I had always known that I wanted to become a CRNA because of the pay. Yeah, I said it, the effing pay. It's not a calling to me. And if you're shocked, like, get over it. So always knew I wanted to be a CRNA. And when I graduated, I took the first job that I could, and that was a job at an ICU step down, vascular ICU step down. And boy, I was excited to be hired, but I also had a Karen Terrace as a nurse manager. I will never forget you. I can't forget her name, actually. I can't remember it now. Karen Terrace as a nurse manager. Surprise, surprise. And again, I'm a novice. I'm new. New nurse, don't understand the game. I knew I wanted to be a CRNA, so I walked on that unit. I was working nights. My nurse manager, who I now understand to be, who was a terrible person, put all the black people on night. So I had maybe one non-black person that I worked with on nights. And I had a black woman nurse educator. Her name was Kathy. And I walked on that unit talking about, oh, I'm going to go to CRNA school. New grad nurse. Now, if you know anything, you know that that was a big mistake, right? And for the non-nurses, you are still welcome here too. We'll always talk about other things besides nursing, but this is where we are right now. I was telling everybody that I want to be a CRNA. And I remember my nurse manager being like, oh, you have to be in the ICU. And I was like, yeah, I know. I want to work at a CVICU, cardiovascular ICU. She's like, oh, they eat their young up there. You don't want to do that. You should just, do med surg for 5 years before you do all that. And in my head, I'm like, bitch, you are tripping. That sounds horrible. Do you see these zombies down here? I remember I worked with a nurse who was like 60 years old, and she had been working nights for forever. Crypt keeper, like, real talk, y'all. And I was like, that is not going to be me. And so I would talk to people about my dreams, and there was a few nurses that were like, yeah, that's a good idea. And there were a few that were just like, yeah, I tried to get into CRNA school. I've been trying for a while. Good luck. And, I never let any of that shit deter my dreams. So, anyways, I worked on that ICU step down for 6 months. And then I remember, like, after certain shifts, I'd go and I'd walk up to the other ICUs after my night shift, and I would go to the nursing manager's office and I would try and catch them on, like, in their office. And now that I know, like, they were never there because they didn't get to work until like 8. So I started waiting, like, well after my shift so I could catch a nurse manager. And I remember I caught the CVICU nurse manager was a male. His name was Al, Filipino male. Shout out to you, Al. Like, real talk. Shout out to you, Al. I hope you hear this wherever you are. And I was like, hey, I work on this floor. I am looking to get into the ICU. Da 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 da. I forgot what I said to him. And he was like, yeah, great. Well, come on this day for an interview. And then I told him, and I was like, okay, like, is this okay? Like, I didn't tell my nurse manager. And he was like, who's your nurse manager? And again, I forgot her name. And I said her name. He was like, oh, well, don't worry about her. Just come to the interview. So I was so happy, y'all. I got an interview. And I had been trying to get in contact with him because I had called the nursing recruiter's office for my hospital, and I was like, who's the manager of this? And I was getting lists of managers and their phone numbers, and so I knew their office, like where their office spaces were. I knew their phone numbers, and I was emailing and calling them. And I had emailed Al, and he had never got back to me. So I was like, okay, I'm running up, I am rolling up to your office, my guy. Rolled up to the office. He gave me the interview. I did the interview, aced it. Now, words to wise, don't tell your ICU managers when you're interviewing that you want to go to CRNA school. I at least had that much sense because I knew better. And so I got the job. I started working there after 6 months as a nurse. So another bit of advice, take the job, nurses. No matter what you want to do, just take the job. You can always move later. I knew that I didn't want to have to do ICU residency. That was just not for me. I didn't want to delay what I was trying to do, which is become a CRNA. So I started working in CV ICU. They wanted me to only work nights. I advocated for myself. I hated working nights in orientation. I was a zombie. And I just asked them. Now, me, I was a 22-year-old, y'all. And I was like, hey, nights doesn't work for me. Can I work days? And he was like, there's a lot of people who want to go to days. And I'm like, okay, so can I work days? Because I don't want to work nights. And guess what he did? He put me to days because, y'all, I need y'all to know these people need you to work. So he's not going to fire you. He's already committed to hiring you. He's going to make it work so that you can work on the unit. So I got moved to days. And, now I realize looking back, like, oh, these people hated that. Like, they're like, who is this black chick coming on here? We're getting days already on CVICU. But guess what? Guess who didn't care? Me. So worked on there for 8 months. Was bullied to oblivion, started like taking notes down on how I was being bullied, the different assignments that they were giving me. I started writing it down. And I remember I had to bring it to the manager's office because they were playing so many games with me all. And again, I always say, I make this joke, like they didn't know I could fucking read. And if you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying. They thought I was just some black girl, some dumb black girl. Nah, baby, documentation wins again. So I was documenting the shit they were saying and doing to me, brought it to my nurse manager. I don't know what he did. He had a meeting apparently with the culprits because they left me alone after that, baby. And it's now in 2024, y'all. Documentation, documentation, documentation. Document it. Write emails to yourself. If shit is happening to you, document it. Because if you look in the news and I want to say follow Ernice, your nurse lawyer. She puts out content all the time about hospitals being sued, nurse managers, whatever, hospitals being sued for mistreating nurses and bullying nurses. I didn't have time to do all that because I had a mission. I was becoming a CRNA and that would have slowed me down. And you have to pick your battles. But, like, if you get fired for any reason or if you are being mistreated, you need to document it so that you have proof of what is happening, okay? When you are pulled into meetings, ask for another person to be there or press record like I do. Anyways, so I will tell you that, I wanted to get my CCRN as a CVICU nurse. And I remember like looking up the requirements and knew that I had to work a certain amount of hours. At the time, it was like 1,750 hours that you had to work. And I had a nurse educator on that floor who actually worked with the board on the AACN who administered the CCRN exam. For those who don't know, critical care registered nurse like certification. That is useful if you're applying to nurse anesthesia school. I wouldn't apply without it. Another tidbit for you guys. And I had asked her for materials because she led educational classes for people to pass the to pass the CCRM. And I asked her if I could join the class, and she was like, no, you need to focus on being a nurse. And in my head, I'm like, this bitch told me no. Like, you're supposed to be an educator. Like, what the hell? So, when people tell me no, I laugh because I'm like, okay, well, that's just a two-letter word. I don't really care. So I started studying on my own, knowing again that I wanted to be a CRNA. So I pass, I take the class, I pass the test. And a week later, I get this email saying that my test had been audited. And I go to Al's office and I'm like, Al, what happened here? Like, I told him I passed my CCRN, and he was like, oh. I actually believe, I think that Lisa, and that's her name, Lisa may have something to do with it. And I'm like, this bitch, Lisa, for real? And, Lisa was gone in California at the time with the AACN. So I'm like waiting for her to come back. I hear Lisa's back home. I hear Lisa's back, right? So let me roll up to Lisa's office. And I'm like, Lisa, hey, my CCRN exam was audited. Do you know anything about this? Guess who gets beat red in the face again? Karen Terrorist, okay? And here's a theme, y'all. It's certain groups and types of women who have been culprits in my life. Again, I'm not shocked anymore by it, but just I want you to pay attention. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go back to the last podcast episode that I recorded. So she gets beat red in the face, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you do know what I'm talking about. And we had this whole long, drawn out conversation. And I'm like, and she's sitting there saying, like, oh, you're not an expert, and we needed to audit your hours, and I don't know how this happened, and it wasn't me, da da da. And just the story wasn't adding up. I really didn't care. Al had told me he was going to help me out again. That's why I said shout out to you, Al. Al was told me he was going to make sure that I had my hours and write a letter to vouch for me because they needed verification of my hours. And he said that he was going to make sure that I had my hours and he would do it if I had my hours, which I did. I'm no dumb fool. I had my hours. I worked a lot of overtime just so I could get my hours. And so I got my CCRN, dabbled with Lisa. Also, at the end of that meeting, Lisa asked if she can give me a hug. What is it with y'all trying to give us hugs after you do us dirty? I let her give me a hug, whatever. Fast forward to like two last year, I messaged Lisa on LinkedIn because in the meeting she had told me, oh, you know, I tried to get in a CRNA school at, you know, at Duke University and I didn't get in and it's really, really hard process. Da 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 da. So I messaged her on LinkedIn the other day, meaning like a year ago. And I told her, like, oh, yeah, I'm here now. I forgive you for what you did. Blah, 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 blah. She blocked me. Anywho, ended up being accepted into nurse anesthesia school, also being awarded a military scholarship through the Air Force, the HPSP scholarship, health profession scholarship, that paid for my tuition upfront. I owed active duty time afterward to repay it back. So a total of 3 years that I spent in the military. While I was in school, I bought a house. You know, everyone told me, don't buy a school, just focus on school. Don't buy a house, just focus on school. And I bought a house anyways. And it was the best decision I ever made. So now when I coach people and mentor them, I try and get them to, if it makes sense, I try to get them to purchase a house where they're living. Because if you are living there and you bought, someone else will also need to lay their head there when you leave. So, went through school, some shit happened, listened to the previous episodes, ended up going into the military in the Air Force, moved out to Las Vegas. I ended up buying another home to put on Airbnb. It made $5,000 in 1 month and was like, oh shit, wait a minute here. This is more than I was making in the military as a CRNA. And I was like, oh shit, Aisha, I think you may have cracked the code. And so then I started to do more investigation into real estate and the ways that I could invest heavily. And I started to learn about how most millionaires are made through real estate. And I was like, okay, Aisha, go all the fucking way in on real estate. So 8 months into the Air Force, they were like, hey, we need somebody to go to Japan. So I moved to Japan, lived there for 2 years, had the time of my fucking life. It was during COVID. I was afraid to say that for so long because, you know, a lot of people died and people are super judgy, but I'm saying it here. I had the best time of my life from 2020 to 2022, living in Japan, traveling, frolicking, staying in 5-star hotels. Like every time I would work a shift during the week, I would, you know, work a call shift and I would get on a fucking plane. If you need Japan tips, just message me on IG. I got you. So, was leaving the Air Force. I had about a few months left. I bought another home that I was going to be moving into as a primary. And turned my other previous home into a rental. Bought another home that ended up now that I turned into another real rental. Moved back home with my lovely, lovely man that I live with now. Bought another primary home. Turned the other one into a rental. If you catch my flow, you catch the pattern. You see what I'm talking about. That is how I am where I am now, which is with 3 rentals. I work part-time 2 days a week. I teach other nurses to literally do what the fuck I do, how I do it. I just started a new grad nurse cohort where I teach new grads how to do what I wish I had done sooner. Because if I knew what I knew now, my career and life trajectory probably would be different. I think I still would have went to CRNA school, but I would probably have more doors under my belt. And this is not a real estate podcast, but there will be real estate episodes. I just talk about my successes and the problems and the things that I've come to learn through my journey. And real estate is one of them. So that's a little bit about how I have gotten to where I am right now. I currently am still living in North Carolina. I have started raising funds, turning nurses into passive real estate investors. You know, they invest with me, I pay them back interest, and I invest now with those funds, purchasing real estate and land and flipping those and either selling them or keeping them. So that has been a new journey for me, super exciting. If you have questions about that, you know where to find me on Instagram at Aisha_CRNA. That is where I am right now. I am now starting also to host retreats with plant medicine and in beautiful places with healthcare workers and nurses and even some tech girlies who told me they want to come. And that is the newest endeavor. I am living freely. I am living open. I am not afraid. I am shedding, you know, the stigma that nursing is a calling. I am talking to the people who know that they want more. I am just being open. I'm an open book, you know, with boundaries, obviously. And I just want to share. And so that is what this podcast is about. You know, today's Club Clinical Floor, you know, the club floor that we were on is, you know, and about me, about Aisha, where I have started from and where I am now. And I just want to encourage people to live big, dream, and take the jump. Your net will catch you. All right, that's it for this podcast episode of Club Clinical. I'll talk to you guys later.